And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I'm going to do some text messages here, Boom. Let's see who we got over here on the sheet. Who's texting in? Wendy from Huntsville says, so school is no longer a law? I thought it was a law that parents had to make sure their kids went to school. Shouldn't there be a fine to parents who keep their children out of school as opposed to paying them to keep them in school? What about accountability on the parents? I hear you, Wendy. But I think what, you know, what Alan said though, and I see the argument from both sides, which I don't normally try to do that, but in this one, I'm sort of wrestling with it. He said that we have got to achieve what he called, I think he called it a cultural shift. Didn't he, Boomer? Didn't he say a cultural? Yeah, he did. And I think that's true. I mean, there's so much of the world right now that is just sort of reframed things, if you will. And I never would have imagined in my day having to be incentivized to have a good attendance. Now, it didn't take much to incentivize me to have bad attendance, I can tell you that. I mean, I might have been prone to skip a class or three, but that being said, I got a mixed bag of feelings on this right now. I got to process it a little more because I didn't even know from reading the report that we were talking about this kind of incentivization, but it's super fascinating to me. Wanda from Somerville says, what's the use of graduation if a student can't read or write? You are so correct, Wanda. David from Coleman, Vimont High School, class of 92, Coleman County, says, when I graduated high school, I had not missed a day from first grade to graduation. Wow. That sounds to me like mom sent you to school sick a few times.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's more than impressive. David, that's a lie. There ain't no way that happened. No, man, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to say my little man, I mean, yeah, it was his first year, but he didn't miss one day.
Well, there you have it.
I know.
All right, perfect child.
I'm just saying perfect attendance.
Okay, perfect attendance with a semi-perfect child. All right. What else we got in here? Chris from Gadsden. He says that's government education. I said public education. Apparently, he wants it to be government education. There you go. Crazy Joe from Decatur. Ruffles have ridges maybe before your time. What does that even mean, Joe? I don't know why you would say that to me. No, ruffles have ridges is definitely during my time, but I don't know why that has to be texted to me right now during the show. I'm confused by this text, but okay. You know what's funny, though, is more than once I've had somebody text the show, and they meant to text somebody else. I had one text something that was a little too sweet, and they said, sorry, that was meant for my wife. John from Huntsville, he's trying to get you to convince me to give you a raise if you have perfect attendance.
Well, I've already messed that up, so there's no perfect attendance there.
If Butters had never been here, that might have been a thing. But Leanne from Huntsville. So I'll admit I missed a bit due to a meeting, so I hope I don't misunderstand, but I do not agree with paying students to attend high school. How can we expect them to do anything else in life that is for their own good or for the good of their future family if we don't pay them, if we pay them for that? It sets the wrong precedent. Okay, see, that's the point, Leanne. This is a thing that's supposed to be just a thing. It's like, do we pay them for breathing? Well, it's not quite the same. What we're seeing right now is a serious problem with incentivization. And they're not saying, we're just going to pay you for doing what you're supposed to do. On the teacher's side, it looks like what they're doing is throwing all their names in a hat, and you only get in the hat if you have reached a certain level of daily attendance, and then you're eligible for a drawing that might mean a bonus. I don't think they're going to be giving it across the board. What they'll do with kids, I don't know. He didn't have a dollar sign attached to that we're talking, but it's cumulative. It's only at graduation, so you got to graduate to even get it. Michael from Sylacauga. With regards to Ryan Cantrell, he says, now you got somebody who's talking sense. There you go. Josh from Moulton said, I had perfect attendance. I was homeschooled. Says, mom didn't believe in sick days. Yeah, but you got to do school in your pajamas, so there's that. Brian from Huntsville again says a couple decades back. Oh, he sent a picture. Okay. How about that? It just turns out Brian from Huntsville, he and his wife and I went to high school together. And I just sent him a friend of mine, George from Huntsville, actually sent us a picture of the yearbook. And so I just sent it to him. How about that? Good deal. You married up, Brian. And then David from Coleman texted again and says, with regards to his perfect attendance, he said, yes, I did have a few days sick. The teachers had me sit away from the other children. That was my school choice. He said, I would have nightmares about missing school. All right. And anyway, well, listen, we're going to come right back. I'm going to switch gears on you. I'm going to tell you, if you're one of those who checks out the resources we post, so every day when you hear me rattling paper, those resource links, every piece of paper I rattle, the link to that story is already up on our resources tab on the website, rightsideradio.org. The one I'm about to read next is one that I think every one of y'all should go get. Go to rightsideradio.org, go to live stream tab, click on resources, and under number two of the Triple Dipper, what are your kids reading? Well, look for one by The Federalist about the woke children's literature cabal trying to condition your kids. I'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm going to number two of the Triple Dipper after 2 hours. It took me 2 hours to get to number two.
It's okay. Woo. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. All right, let me ask you a question, though, Boone.
Yeah.
You guys read to your little ones at night?
Oh, yes. We read a lot of books to them.
Yeah.
Just because for the little man, when he was growing up, read just a lot of books because he was so interested and you could just see his wheels turning. And so we do books, you know, try to do books during the day, and then we do Bible stories at night. So,
yeah. Oh, that's good. See, that's we did that mm-hmm. with ours, and we do it now with our grandkids. My kids, my son, my daughter doesn't have kids yet, but my son and daughter-in-law, books are just a big part of it. I mean, bedtime, but then also they have their little reading nook, you know, where all the toys are. But there's also shelves they can get to, and of course, little man, our little man, he's runaround age. I mean, he's like yours, and so but little bitty, my grandbaby girl, she's already crawls over there and pulls books off the shelf. She loves them.
Yeah,
loves them.
Just looking through all the colors, and I honestly that it stimulates that imagination. And
oh,
I think
it
does. That's a huge part of it. And I mean, I was told my whole life that I had a crazy imagination, so I wanted my children to have the same thing because it's fun.
I have learned that about you. but yeah, ours are the same way. In fact, and I remember too, even at an early age, we had the usual books and Bible stories and things that we read, and sometimes we told stories from scratch. You know, we'd make up stories. But reading was a huge piece. And then at some point with my son, we progressed up, and I think when he was like three, I started reading Hardy Boys mysteries to him. And those are small novels, you know. So the Hardy Boys mysteries, there's like 50-something in the series. And we read almost all of them. We had the whole Hardy Boys collection on the shelf, real, you know, book.
That's awesome.
And it was just amazing to me. At 3 years old, he would sit there. You could see his wheels turning, like you said a minute ago. He would stare at the ceiling while I'm reading, and he was taking in every bit of it. So much so, I'll never forget this. 3 years old, I'm tucking him in one night, and I said, all right, buddy. We'd read like 10 pages a night. I said, all right, buddy, let's see. Where were we? And I was saying it rhetorically, and little three-year-old guy goes, Daddy, Chet and Biff were down by the river at the dock, and the bad guys had them in there, and they were trying to get the boat started, and he named it. And I was like, you are correct. And Caitlin was that way.
You just knew it.
Yeah, Charlene especially read Nancy Drew mysteries to her. Things that had lessons, things that had life, you know, things that had values.
I think when I was a kid, Boxcar Kids.
Oh, Boxcar Kids. Yeah.
I think that was a thing.
I used to love Hardy Boys when I was a kid, too, but I also loved, there was a series called Encyclopedia Brown, and he was like a kid detective. He always figured out the mystery in his neighborhood. And I was a prolific reader as a kid. This next section I've got here, I'm titling it, What Are Our Kids Reading? With a question mark and an exclamation point at the end of it. I told you a minute ago, the resources are up on the website. If you want to see the articles I'm talking about, the first one I've got, this might take a few minutes for this one because this article, man, this one grabbed me. This is the one, I've seen a couple things around where like, oh man, I can't believe they're having to go to the city council or go to the school board and ask about that book. But then I find this article from The Federalist, came out yesterday. The headline is A Woke Children's Literature Cabal is Conditioning Your Kids to Be an Obedient Leftist. This article is written by someone named Kiri Jorgensen. I don't know Kiri Jorgensen, but Kiri Jorgensen apparently works in the literature industry, publishing. And I'm going to go through this article, and she's got three different ways that they have begun to use children's literature to condition your kids. There's what they call the normalization campaign. The library lurch is the next one. And then the other one, wait, hang on, where'd it go? Oh, and then inserting themes. So you've got them normalizing, you got the libraries themselves, and then you got them inserting themes. So she says, children's books, and I agree with this, are one of those powerful tools that parents have to help teach their kids how to be good humans. From picture books being read at bedtime to novels being read by flashlight under the blankets, kids flourish in the safety of stories as they develop their belief systems. Resilience, empathy, respect, and many other noble traits are portrayed and experienced vicariously through books. What a powerful tool. Then she says, I have watched in growing dismay as children's literature world has shifted and changed, and most recently taken a drastic plummet. Parents need to understand the destructive path this industry has taken, or they will discover too late as the damage hits home. Now, here's some stats. This is her watching her industry change over time. She says, the shift has been happening for a long time. About 25 years ago, novels that portrayed kids as environmental activists began to win awards. About 15 years ago, award-winning books showed shocking and disturbing scenarios. 10 years ago, books that depicted sexualization and abuse at younger ages began to win awards. 5 years ago, it shifted a bit to where more books were focused on systemic racism and sexual identity began to win awards. And she says, today, if books don't include any of the above, they are rarely published by the medium and large publishing houses. And then she points out, but it's the medium and large publishing houses that supply the schools, the libraries, and the bookstores. Wow. I can't argue with that, because these are the arguments that we keep seeing in the occasional article, the occasional school board argument, the occasional, you know, parent flare at a library. She's seeing it really almost systemically in the publishing industry. She says, 8 years ago, I organized a statewide writers' conference for children's book authors. Okay, great. They brought in different writers, different speakers. And she asked one writer at the conference, who was a leftist himself, about his story. He explained that in his manuscript, his main character learns that his hero is gay. The protagonist is troubled by this and works through his feelings to come to acceptance. And that's where the moderator jumped in and said, no. You cannot have any troubledness about that. There's no coming to terms with sexual identity. You have to portray it as affirmation, as it is, as just there it is. And so what she's saying is the shift was no longer present something for examination, which in and of itself, I don't think kids should be examining that. But there's no longer any examination. It's just presented as, here's the truth, deal with it. This article is really kind of scary when you get down to it, especially knowing what books have meant. I mean, we saved, I can't tell you, I mean, hundreds of books When we moved to our new house a few years ago, we lived in the same house for 24 years. So our kids pretty much grew up in one house. And then after, you know, they went off to college and got married and things, we moved to another house. All the books came with us. There's a room at the house that we keep things for the grandkids, and there's an entire bookshelf filled with books that their parents read when they were little, all over the shelves. And they love it. I mean, little man, he comes in there, he's pulling books off the shelf, picking which one he wants to read, and we'll tell him, your daddy used to read this when he was little. And your aunt read this one when she was little. And and that means something. Scares me to death to think about what's happening, because you want to go out and you want to buy something for your grandkids. Now you have to almost examine every page because of what this next section of the article says. The normalization campaign. It says, in the past 3 years, there's been a dangerous shift. Keep in mind, this is a person who works in the industry. It says, in 2020, the publisher's weekly list of best middle grade books featured 14 titles. These are books for kids 9 to 13 years of age. Out of the 14 books, 9 on that year's list openly spoke about racism and sexual identity. Each book's description clearly identified these themes. Of the 14 books on the 2021 Best Books list, 9 of the 14 again included topics about racism and public sexual identity. On the 22 list, 9 of the 14 books discussed racism and sexual identity, but only one clearly stated what it was in its description. Publishers, they say, no longer openly tell readers about the portrayal of radical social agendas. They just subtly insert them now because they want kids to find out without the parents knowing. The author says, this shift, and I agree, this shift frightens me more. We have moved from the inclusion of liberal social agendas in kids' books and flaunting it to now sneaking them in under the radar. This is called normalization. Normalization leads to acceptance. Acceptance leads to embracing. And she says, well, when I want to know what a book's about, I can make sure my child doesn't read it. When I'm being kept in the dark, it's kind of hard to do that. So here's the thing, y'all. As I go to the break right now, I'll just tell you. At this point, what they've done, the publishers have determined they are the ones who determine what should be portrayed. There's no discussion. You will just insert this information. You don't tell it in the description. You don't write it on the back cover. You don't advertise it as such. You just insert it now, quietly. That means we as parents have to scan through the book to even see what's in there page by page to know what we're getting. I got more on this. Y'all stay tuned. We're going down. What are your kids reading? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, before we go any further, I got to tell you guys, we got a new advertiser. You may have heard their ads running, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over the Birmingham area. They've got 5 locations. I'm hearing there's more coming. But Southern Immediate Care, they just opened up 2 more in Chelsea and Hoover. They've got open 7 days a week, y'all. Southern Immediate Care, 7 days a week, extended hours at most locations. Y'all, that's weekends. You get somebody sick on the weekend, you need a place to go. These are walk-in capable clinics, and they are so squared away. And by the way, Southern Immediate Care is who I go to in the Gadsden area. So, I just encourage you. I know the folks that own this chain. I'm excited to have them as a team member for Right Side. I'll just tell you, if you need something, I mean, x-rays and immunizations right there on site. Clients, you know, patients of all ages. So, yeah, they'll see you 7 days a week. Southern Immediate Care. You need some medical attention any time of the week? Southern Immediate Care all throughout the Birmingham area, Anniston, Gadsden, all of it. Listen, we're going to go to the phones right now because I do believe that's Wolverine Dan. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, brother?
Just like your bumper music. I'm going to collate that with our chief and leader, feeling kind of dirty. Feeling kind of mean. Yeah, that's the president. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? This joker, all his life he's been a politician. It's all about his career. It's all about his ego. all about his bank account. And I'll explain that, okay? The wheeling dealings with China, Ukraine. He's got his son Hunter doing the dirty work. He's the big guy. His son gets a piece of the pie, and he's complaining because he gets only 10% of millions of dollars, which I wouldn't complain, but he does. All right? And the thing is this. He can't even raise his family. And now you started talking about reading books to kids and everything. I love reading my books to my grandkids, and I did for my kids, and my kids are all good, and my grandkids are really coming up really well. So, because we care, and you know what? It's not about, you know, as president, he could go down as one of the greatest presidents of all time. Any president could do that. They start out day one. They can go which way you want to go, down that road or that road, okay? And the one road, of course, is all about yourself and everything. The other road, as a president, you're supposed to be very unselfish and about the country. It's not about you. But the point is this. I'm all over the map, but I'm so upset at this president right now because bottom line is that if he can't even take care of his own family, how can he take care of this country? I've said that many times on your show, and that means everything because I personally are loved by my children and my grandkids and my wife because they come first. Well, of course, God comes first. We all know that. Without God, we don't have anything. But this, it's about the family. And if this president could think like that, which he can't because he can't think anymore. And the sad thing, you know what's happening? His evil's taking over his body because he's bitter. He gets mad real quick. And when you get older, a lot of people get that way, and you don't want to get that way because the devil's taking over your body, dude. And I just recently, just about maybe 3 hours ago, met my old neighbor I used to live, a real nice guy, former teacher, sweet as could be, and still a really nice guy, happy all the time and never complains. And we talked about that, how our president is becoming such a bitter old man, and it's all his fault. And him and I, or not presidents, of course, and we're not that high-end kind of guy, but we're very happy because we love what we have around us. We know what really matters.
I think that may have been like your best rant ever.
Well, listen, Phil, you know as well as, and you know, Phil, the look from that child, or that child gave you the answer about that book that you were reading, and out of the blue, and you're going, my God, the kid gets it. And, you know, when the kid gets it, looks at you, and you know the kid gets it, then all of a sudden, that feeling right there, you can't buy that feeling.
No, you're right, brother. You are so right. Wolverine Dan, love you, man. You have a good one.
See you, brother.
Oh, that's so, he was all over the board, but he acknowledged he was all over the board, but he was spot on, though, with everything he said. Let me go back to this article. I'm going to finish out this portion of the show, and I'm going to come back with more of this because I got articles on this "What are your kids reading?" thing. But you know, I mentioned a minute ago this article from the Federalist. And by the way, again, you can go to rightsideradio.org, click on the resources button on the live stream page, click on the resources button. Every time you hear me rattling paper, those article links are up there for you to see, to hear. And grab them and forward them to somebody, whatever you want to do, and we make them there available for you. But this particular article from the Federalist, this is a member of the publishing domain. This is someone who has been in the industry for, you know, decades, who is now watching with dismay as what she describes as a woke children's literature cabal trying to condition your kids to be obedient leftists. And she's talking about, and she's given clear, like, data and personal experiences, and what she's watching. And the first thing she talked about was inserting themes and not being allowed to question them. The next thing she talked about was what they call the normalization campaign, where you no longer even announce that the theme is in the book. You just insert it secretly so that it normalizes behaviors to kids as they read the book, and parents might not even know it's there. The last one she refers to is the library lurch. She says in 2016, libraries across the nation began to purge their shelves of anything, quote, old. But the deepest cuts were made in the children's department. And then what happened after that? Books began to be donated that did not fill the void in a way that you would have wanted them to. So she's heard from many parents that they no longer go to the library at all because they can't trust what's on the shelves. Of 12,000, they can see campaign donations. Of 12,000 known librarians who gave to 2020 presidential campaigns, 93% of them went to Joe Biden. What does that tell you? says in February of 2023, this year, conservative children's book publisher Brave Books, which is Kirk Cameron and his partners, they actually hosted a story hour where the librarian tried to disrupt things because they didn't want the Christian conservative books being read out loud. They were banging drums, playing music loud, really, in a library, trying to disrupt Brave Books book readings, even though they'd had drag queen story hour the week before. A week later, the community had had an uproar. The librarian was fired. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we need to have parents tuning in on what's happening with books and their kids. I got a few more on this and some text messages. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You're just about into go-home time right now on a Friday afternoon. And I'm going to tell you, man, this show covers down on some major ground all across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I believe that when I say it, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show sends this signal like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I tell you what, bring me some more. We'll talk to them too. But listen, I got to tell you this whole section that I'm in right now. How to deal with the book industry, the publishing industry, as they apparently are shifting in the children's literature sections to an overly woke. Why would that be? By the way, why do you think that is? I'll ask the question and give you the answer all at the same time. Why would that be? Because they know if they can plant the seeds early, they can have a liberal at their adult stage. I mean, it's not enough now for you to worry about what happens when your kids go off to college. You know what I'm saying? It's not enough for you to have a parent's night out and hope that things are okay back at the house. Now you got to worry about what they're seeing on their smartphones, their tablets, and, oh, by the way, what's that book that they've just been assigned to read by their teacher or that they picked up at the public library? So here's one for you right here in Alabama, story dated yesterday. So in Prattville, down near Montgomery, in Prattville, 1819 News reports that in Prattville there's been a push by local residents to ask the city council to get involved in the fact that the local library, the Autauga Prattville Public Library, has been putting out LGBTQ plus books in the children's section. And the parents are saying, could you please stop? We don't want this here. And there have been multiple meetings, city council meetings, where the parents have shown up to speak against it. And there's only been usually one person there, the same person each time, who comes to speak in favor of keeping the books on the shelves. The parents are asking for their tax dollars not to fund things that they believe are, taking their kids down the wrong road. And yet the books still remain. So the parents began coming and reading excerpts from the books. Story headline, Prattville City Council bans the reading of LGBTQ plus books for minors during public comment section of city council meeting and threatens police intervention. Not because they were taking too long, not because they were speaking out of order or making disorderly moments within the city council meeting. No, not at all. It's because, in the mayor's own words, it was getting very embarrassing. He says, I'm 65 years old. I'm not a worldly traveler, but some of that reading, I was very red-faced embarrassed because to me, in my opinion, there was a portion of a book that read that crossed several lines of decency in public comments. But yet they're taking no action. So they'll ban the reading of it at the public meeting at the city council. Grown people who are sworn to uphold and defend the laws and the rules and the regulations of the city in which they serve. And they don't want the parents to come and read those things. That's nasty. Don't read. That's embarrassing. I can't handle that, says the mayor. Well, then, Mayor, exercise your authority. One former city councilman came and said, I'm surprised I'm back here to speak to you. I never thought I'd do this. But he went on to say, I know the authority you have. You can do this if you want to. You're just not doing it. Well, here's one for you. Kirk Cameron. You know the actor, Kirk Cameron. Very outspoken Christian. Loves the Lord. Loves conservative values. He's got a company, which I mentioned earlier, called Brave Books. They write children's stories about faith and values in America. And he's calling on the federal government to investigate the American Library Association. What? Yes. The American Library Association. Because he claims, as a Christian author, that the association has been advising libraries on ways to block or sabotage his events coming up this August. So the Texas-based First Liberty Institute, by the way, I became aware of First Liberty here recently. I really like their work. Sent a letter to the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services in Washington, D.C., asking for an open investigation. What's happening here? What are they doing? Well, apparently, the American Library Association sent out memorandums to libraries all over the nation with a series of advisories exploring ways to block the implementation of his book readings at public libraries. And then they have no good explanation. They're asked for comment, and they go into long diatribes about what libraries are supposed to be for and yada, yada, yada. They're not saying whether they will or will not recant. And then Kirk Cameron says, the taxpayer-funded American Library Association is not only criticizing me, they are teaching libraries to break the law and conspiring to prevent thousands of families from visiting their own community reading rooms. All right, I got probably one more article that I'm going to get to. And y'all, I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of my stuff comes from what I would consider to be conservative news sites, giving you conservative opinion, me bringing it all in, adding my opinion to it. But sometimes I got to look in other places. I went to a website, almost wanted to get a shower after I was done. The website's called Autostraddle. I don't even want to explore the reason why they named themselves Autostraddle. The headline on this article that came out 3 days ago, 20 queer and feminist banned books and how to get them to kids who need them. The article goes on to talk about why we are nuts in our moral panics and culture wars for daring to question the ability for free speech to our kids. Well, it's not free speech when you're saying things to my kids that I don't want you to say. But that being said, then it goes through all the books. And then at the very end of the article, which I'll get to in a minute, it talks about how to get those books, these banned books, it says, to kids who need them. Let me take a call first. Is that Kareem? Is Kareem on the line? I'll take it right quick. Kareem, buddy, how you doing?
How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Isn't the true definition of America is for every individual to choose for themselves what's good for them, right?
Okay.
I mean, with banning books, rather because they have references to race in it or to LGBTQ or whatever, isn't that like Germany, Hitlerish kind of thing? I mean, why would you, as a free American, why would you even entertain something like that of banning books? I mean, for each parent, it's supposed to be up to the parents what's going on in their family, what their kids read, what they supposed to have in front of them. They're supposed to control that.
Okay,
for the government to step in and say, I'm going to control this because I don't agree with the book. I mean, and like Ron DeSantis, he's banning book on Rosa Parks. Really? You banning books on Malcolm X?
He's not banning books on Rosa Parks. He is not banning books on Rosa Parks.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've read. I'm saying is that isn't that the total opposite?
All right, let me jump in here with you, brother. Let me jump in here with you a minute. So here's the thing. Freedom of speech, the First Amendment also deals with what they would consider to be suppressed speech or mandated speech or mandated thought. All right. They can't make you think certain ways. What you just described is just the opposite. I'm talking about parents, individuals, not government, parents who are going to the government saying, why are you letting these things into my kids' minds when I've said that I don't want them to be there? Why are you putting them in my child's hands at the public paid school when I said I don't want them there? Why are my taxpayer dollars funding something at the local public library that I believe is contrary to the faith and beliefs that I have as a person. And I understand expression of thought and having a diverse, you know, amount of ideas, but you're talking about two different things. What Hitler did was, as a government, he decided what people were allowed to see or hear, and he burned them in the public square. We're talking about minors who are already protected. No, when you have minors who are protected by law.
We are headed there.
So let me ask you this. Should an adult be hang on. Should an adult be allowed to have sex with a kid?
No.
Okay. Should an adult be allowed to beat a kid? No. And I know you agree with me on that. Well, there's that. But what I'm saying is, you know, there are already laws in place that protect children from the very things that are being put into books to say them. Why is it okay to slide it into a book and put it in their hands at the library, but it's not okay for the person to say it as a matter of law to their face?
But see, that's just like saying you have people that's working in the libraries and they see a child and they go say, hey, read this book about homosexuality. I don't think that's what's happening at all.
Oh, brother.
Now, from y'all guys pointing out these books, now the kids is going to want to read them. Well, what do they don't want us to see? Now I'm going to go search for it and I'm going to find it. Now I'm going to read it. I think it's going to have the opposite results of what you guys is looking for.
I don't think so.
And at the same time, you're banning books in America.
I don't think we're banning books. What we're saying is we're not going to take controversial, culture-based ideas that don't meet the standard that parents want in their kids' hands at school, and we're not going to have them in school. That's what we're saying.
And that's up to each individual parent. Why continue?
And the parent has the option of going and buying the book. You have the option as a parent, Kareem. You can go buy the book and read it to your kids at night before they go to bed if you want to. It doesn't mean the teacher is supposed to be forced by government to teach it.
I have no desire to read those books to my kids.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that what if you had – I don't know any parent that does. But for people just to outright say, well, I'm going to ban this book because one child might pick it up and read it. This is wrong. This is stuff that's not happening, described. Like the CRT and it. It's none of that is happening.
No, it is happening. Oh, it is happening. You know what's happening, Kareem. You know it's happening. You just don't want to admit it. But here's. No, listen. Here's the bottom line. All right, hang on a second. I'm jumping in again. See, when you had Hitler banning books, he did not allow anyone in society to ever see those books. They were banned. They were taken off the shelves. It was a crime to even have them. They burned them in the public square. When Ron DeSantis or anybody else who's in leadership says, we're not going to allow that to be taught in schools, it doesn't say the parents can't go to the bookstore and buy it themselves. You can still go to Amazon and read it to your kids twice a day if you want to. That's not a book ban. All we're saying is we're not going to sexualize children on the public dime in the public schools. We're using the public libraries.
I look at it as step one. That's what some
I disagree.
Totalitarian stuff is step one. And as an American, you should be totally against it, man.
And you really should. And as an American, I believe that parents should have the final say in what's best for their kids. Kareem, I got to go. Another caller is waiting on me, and I'll hit up against a break real quick. Take care, brother. Appreciate talking to you every time. Line two, let me get Clarence real quick before I run out of time. Clarence, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I feel like I was just at the circus listening to a clown show.
Come on now. Everybody's got a difference of opinion. We can handle it. What's up?
Let me give you a difference of opinion, though. When you want to talk about totalitarianism, whenever the American people and whenever you have one side that is going and they are tearing down statues of Civil War heroes because they don't want you to learn that history, yet they can throw out the same history and say that they're taking Rosa Parks out of schools.
You've got a point. You've got a fair point.
You can't have it both ways.
Oh, did we lose the signal? I think we just lost him.
History that you want people to know, because history is history. No matter how ugly or colorful you think it is, it's still history. And that's where you have people that like that right there. He wants you to be able to, he wants to tell you what you should be able to teach, because that's in his thought process of what is right.
You're spot on as usual, man. Hey, listen, I'm up against a break, Clarence. Thanks for calling in, man. Yep. Boomer, take it to it. That was good. That's what the show is for, right there. This is not book banning. This is called making sure that the appropriate material is being placed in front of our children, our most precious asset. And the idea that it's banning, friggin' go to Amazon, buy the book, and read it to your kids twice a day if you as a parent believe that's right. But don't ask the taxpayers to fund the opportunity. When we get back, I'm going to go into one more that This one might curl your hair. And if you think there's not a plot out there, let me read this article to you. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I was with my friends from ZLA Solutions this morning and talking about several things, including maybe even a new advertiser for them. But let me tell you, ZLA Solutions has been with us since this show began, and they are doing epic cool stuff in terms of helping businesses find their way to better solutions. ZLA can do all kinds of things for you, but one of their bread and butter items still remains staffing. I mean, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. I like to always say they can find you the blue collar, white collar, the no collar. It don't matter. If you need one or two people with special niche skills, or you need a whole shift of people, ZLA Solutions is one of the best around at doing it, working for a lot of big name employers all over North Alabama and really beyond. So, yeah, their website is ZLAUSA.com. I know these people quite personally, and I believe in what they do and how they do it. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Hey, listen, just got a text come in here. Tim from Cherokee, Alabama, says, that exchange when you and Kareem just had was awesome. I don't agree with Kareem, but the two of you just demonstrated what needs to happen countrywide, a civil conversation about different opinions. Kareem, I don't agree with you, but I hope you call in more often. Maybe you and this radio show can start something new again. Conversation. Be blessed. I'll take that. Hey, let me wrap this up. I said a minute ago, and Kareem said, and I disagreed. He said, they're not trying to get your, I forget what he said, but they're not out there trying to do this stuff. I forget how he said it, but I said, yes, they are. How about this? I went to what I would call an opposing website. It's called autostraddle.com. I don't even want to know why it's called that. It pans itself as a career, it's a queer and feminist website. Headline article 2 days ago, 20 queer and feminist banned books and how to get them to the kids who need them. Says the inspiration for this midsummer list of queer and feminist banned books is actually pretty straightforward. Now, they call them banned. They're not banned. They're just not being used in public schools in some states. Says a habit that I most certainly picked up on as a kid was reading. And so I've been picking out what's next to devour, and then goes on to say, you already know that book challenges, and that's the more appropriate phrase, really, book challenges, and book bans, she says, have become a battleground of choice for the extreme right-wing conservatives, creating not only the largest crisis over free speech and education in more than a generation, but also an environment where queer children, trans children, are not able to see or learn about themselves. That's such crap. But then they go on to talk about, here's the books you've got to get in front of kids, like this one, All Boys Aren't Blue. All Boys Aren't Blue, the second most challenged book, a primer for teens who are eager to be allies as well as reassuring testimony for young queer men of color. How about this one, Last Night at the Telegraph Club, about a 17-year-old who discovers she's gay as she walks past the flashing sign of a lesbian bar. How about this one, Flamer by Mike Curado, a graphic novel that covers the year that Aiden discovered how he really feels. How about this one, Tango Makes Three, Happy Penguins Who Have Two Dads. How about this one? The very last of it says, here's how you get those banned books in front of kids. It encourages you to actually take these books and then donate them to local literacy groups, community and civic centers, after-school programs, and even some libraries. And then goes on to say, There's also sources like the Brooklyn Public Library that'll give them to any kid between the ages of 13 and 21. Or for that matter, how about the Freedom to Read Foundation, which it points out is affiliated with the American Library Association? Y'all, don't tell me there's not a plan to normalize what our kids see. They want it. They want it normalized because that's how they raise the next level of leftists. And that's, by the way, one of the plots of the leftists is to separate the kids from the parents. And if they can do that without you even knowing, then, hey, they win, right? Don't let it happen. Be on your guard. Read to those kids and those grandkids. Read to them all the time. Take them to places in their mind that they could never go on earth. It's the imagination, right? Teach them to read. Teach them to love to read. But be careful of what they read. Protect those little minds. All right, folks. What an amazing week. Coming back next week, Boomer and I here Monday at 2 o'clock. You guys have an amazing weekend. We'll see you then.